session number 17098, Reel 1.
Miss Love, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
4th of June, 1914.
Whereabouts were you born?
Sunderland.
Did you go to school in Sunderland?
No.
Where was that?
Byers Green, a little village called Byers Green, a mining village near between Bishop Auckland and Spennymoor. Currently Durham.
Your parents had moved there, had they?
Yes. My father, of course, was a grocer. Worked for Walter Wilson in the Castle on Tyne. And he opened the shop in 1919 when he came out of the army and the Cumberland Fusiliers in the First World War.
How old were you when you left school?
I was nearly 15.
So that would have been 1929.
That's right.
Did you get a job?
Yeah, well, I was going to be a chemist. But I went to Billingham in those days because of Billingham Synthetic Works. Now it's ICI, of course. And I passed the examination, but they told me that I couldn't, wouldn't take me, and my parents went with me, until I was 16. So I got agitated and I couldn't wait. So I decided to go to sea.
How did you go about it?
My father did it. Got organised somewhere. I don't know how he did it. I got the faintest idea. He said, I can let it go to South Shields or London. And I said, right, London, fair enough.
Where did you do your training?
Prince of Wales Training School.
Whereabouts is that?
That's, it's now New Street, Church Row in Nice, London, E14.
What kind of training did you get there?
Oh, a lot. Seamanship, boat handling, 6 months. But I passed out at 5 months because I was made petty officer.
Which year and month do you think this was?
I went to sea in I went in the beginning of 1930, and I went to sea in the July or August, and I was on the Tuscania. That was, of course, in New York.
What kind of ship was the Tuscania?
Well, she was a passenger. We used to come from Victoria Docks through Le Havre, Cherbourg, across New York, and back, and do the same thing all over again, you know.
And your duties aboard?
A deckhand I was at the time. I was a boy seaman.
And who ran the line?
Well, that was the... Well, it was seconded to the Cunard. It was anchor line, really. And she was the end of the wash day for it. And we took her back to Glasgow, to Govan, where she was built. She got torpedoed during the war, evidently. So I read. But I ended up on the Arundora Star.
In the war?
Oh, no, before the war, good Lord. I joined the Air Force in 1933.
Why did you decide to join the Air Force?
Because I was to be a sailor from Southampton. I was getting nowhere at all in the merchant service. And as we went past Calshot, I could all see the RAF launches. And one morning coming into Southampton, I said to a friend of mine on the bridge, I said, that's what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to join the Air Force, go in the Marine branch, which I did.
Not many people will know that there was a Marine branch of the Air
exactly.
Force.
Exactly. Well, I wasn't quite sure about it, as a matter of fact, because I wanted to be an aerial photographer, actually. That's what I wanted to be, get away from the sea altogether. But I was at Uxbridge, of course, for 3 months, square bashing. And then I went to Biggin Hill, the flare path there, with paraffin and what have you. And then I went on a practice camp down at Weston's Oiland near Bridgewater. And then I came on orders, vacancies from motorboat crew. Because I used to apply for it.
Can you explain what the Marine branch of the RAF was?
Oh, yes, definitely. Everything appertained to flying boats. Towing, refueling, looking after the boys. Everything. And the flying boat, once the flying boat landed, it was in the charge, really, of the Piermaster, and that was the marine craft section. If in particular, it's happened to me several times, one of the engines or two engines was clapped out, and I've been there with a 37.5 footer, to tow it back, tow it in to the boys, you see.
What kind of work were you doing at first when you got your first posting?
I was a deckhand, or seaman. Instead of being a seaman on a big ship, I was a seaman on a 37.5 foot boat. You see?
Was this a high speed launch?
No. Oh, no. This was what they call seaplane tenders. The 200 class, two Meadows engines as they were. And they were all right for towing. We used to have, before that, we had a Brook, which was single-engined. And towing an aircraft, a flying boat with one of those, was extremely difficult, especially a Felixstowe.
So you were at Felixstowe to start off with, were you?
I passed out from Calshot as an LAC. I went to Felixstowe the end of November 1934. And I was there until the beginning of Easter 35. Then I went on 3 months temporary duty to Egypt, which lasted 16 months, on a ship called the Manila. M-A-N-E-L-A. And we were in Alexandria. We were doing night flying at Abiquir Bay, where Battle of the Nile, you know. We used to go down there with the pinnace from Alexandria down to Abiquir. I came back and went back to Felixstowe again. I was at Felixstowe until 38. I went on a coxswain's course, Calshot again, and a friend of mine, Charlie Luff, and myself, both got very high grades. And I got 90.8 and he got 90.2, so that's fair enough, isn't it? And off we went again. There was a sudden panic, beginning of 39. And I was coxswain of the Pinnace 32, in Felixstowe. Charlie Luff was coxswain of a refueler, 1194, or 1174, I'm not quite sure the numbers now. And I escorted it down to London to be boarded onto this ship, I was told, which was the Dumana. And then I got into King George Docks. We had to wait for the tide, of course, to get in there. I said to Charlie, oh, I don't like the look of this. This one was painted white with a red line across it. I said, this is a troop ship, this. Anyhow, he had a girlfriend in Ealing, and my parents lived in Ealing. So he said, well, let's have a shave. Because I'm boiler refueler, and we only had cold water. So I said, come on, we'll go into the barbers and in the docks. So he had a shave, and he went to his girlfriend, and I went to home. When I got home, of course, there was a telegram waiting for me. Return immediately. Under the same orders as Sergeant Bancroft, who was in charge of the little convoy going down to London, you see. I thought, oh, my God. My mother said, what's this? So I said, it means I'm going overseas again. So I went back to Felixstowe and I said, inoculations, you're going on the Germana. So I thought, oh, Lord. So I went down on the Germana, and Group Captain Lloyd was the same group captain they had on the Manila in 1935. Captain Bly, I always called him. And the Manila was called the Bounty, in my opinion. It was a bloody awful ship. Probably every morning, including Sundays, 7 o'clock, or 6 o'clock, rather. Oh, yeah. He was a so-and-so. Anyhow, Charlie and I went back aboard the Germana. And I said, Charlie, this is where we came in, mate. I said, you know where we're going? He said, yeah. I said, where? He said, Egypt. I said, not on you and Nelly. So when we got to Malta, went to Grand Harbour first, and went round to Califorana Bay. And I heard through the grapevine that they wanted a couple of cocks on the shore. So I volunteered to get off the ship. And Sergeant Bancroft and Sergeant Jordan, both ex-flight attendants in the end, said, well, God, come on, Jordy, you can't go there. We're sending Wally Marshall. So anyhow, I said, no, I'm going to go. So I went ashore. I jumped from the frying pan into the fire, really, because the flying officer in charge ended up as a group captain. I mean, I did not see eye to eye at all. So there we are. So the flight sailed for 12 years.
How long did you work in Malta for?
I was formed a mobile squadron, 202 squadron, London as they were. London, had London flying boats. There's a picture of London. And they went to Gibraltar in October 1939. And the Marines section, 26 of us, went on the HMS Hostile destroyer. So we formed a base in Gibraltar. And we used to use Algeciras Bay for the night flying exercises.
Had the war broken out by now?
Oh, the war broke out when I was in Malta. Oh, yes. Because I was sitting in the mess one day on Sunday morning. We're going to have a walk down to the village in Berzabuja, have a couple of drinks, and the orderly sergeant came in and said, we're at war. I said, oh, hell. I said, who's fighting who? I said, are the Italians in it yet? They're only 60 miles away from Sicily. So he said, no. I said, well, fair enough. But they bombed us in Gibraltar, the Italians did.
But that must have been later, in 1940, because they weren't in the water.
That's right. The French bombed us as well, as a matter of fact, with Glenn Martin's. In Gibraltar.
Can you describe the bomb?
Oh, I can indeed. Glenn Martin's. They came from Morocco. Bombed us for 3 days.
What damage did they do?
Didn't do much. Hopeless they were. At lunchtime, all the Gibraltarians scarpered. And the people coming over from La Linea used to work on the rock, but they were all scarpered. Yeah, the French. After the French collapsed, of course. Oh, yes, they bombed us for three... Or was it lunchtime? 2 or 3 days, I'm not quite sure now. Long time ago.
What about the Italian bombing?
Oh, they were hopeless. They came over at night, and we had the Ark Royal, the Courageous, Glorious, Renown, that's right, the 8th Force was there. And they came over, and I could see them. They used to have a bunch of frigates, trademark thing, under the wing. And Group Captain Rogers was the commanding officer. And dropped the bombs right down the middle of the harbour, never hit a thing. Killed a lot of fish, but they didn't hit any. They had the Manchester, HMS Manchester, the Newcastle. Never hit anything at all. It went over La Linea, circled around, and it was on fire then, and it came down. I went out with the launch, and all I could find was the wing. I brought it back, and then there was a big fight there between the Navy, the renowned, the glorious, or who shot it down. And the Army thought they shot it down. So I said, well, there we are. There's the wing. Make your minds up. And that was it.
And you were coxswain in 202 yes. Squadron, you say?
Coxswain of the Marine Craft Section of 202 Squadron, yes.
What kind of craft did they have there in Jib?
Oh, the Marine Craft. One pinnace, two refuelers. One refueler, I beg your pardon. Three 37.5 footers, seaplane tenders, and two powered dinghies. We lived in Town Range Barracks. The senior NCOs lived in married quarters. And we used to mess in Town Range, the sergeants mess down there.
Any problems in doing your job in Jib?
No. I liked it very much, actually. I mean, it was great. I mean, but the only thing was, of course, with the Navy, is that Sunderland, or especially one of the squadrons, the Australian squadron, used to land with the Sunderlands and come tearing into the harbour. And I said, for God's sake, stop. I've got to go into the harbour first to find out if there's any destroyer coming out like about, doing about 25 knots, you know. And I said, go in and give them a red or a green, and that was it. But they used to land in Algeciras Bay. And then there was the Italians had some ships which were being held up there. But of course, unfortunately, they'd made some human torpedo things. And I went out one day, and I saw this little head popping into the harbour. Well, I didn't know what the hell it was. And it was this... Look, he bailed out, as a matter of fact, as he got inside. But he didn't hit anything. And I got him. Well, the Army got him in any case. There we are. He was one of these human torpedo things, you know. From the ones in La Linea, or Algeciras, really. My great friends of ours, they were.
You being sarcastic?
Yes.
Did you see what happened to the Italian
No,
prisoner?
He was taken away. Something happened to that French spy that I picked up off Dover. I think he ended up for the chop he did.
That's later on, is it?
Oh, yes.
We'll come to that in due course. Any other incidents that you remember in Gibraltar?
And the bombing by the... What annoyed me intensely was the French that bombed us. We were using the American aircraft, Ben Martins. Because de Gaulle, whom I met several times in Gibraltar, I used to pick him up, he was awkward, sounds how he was. So, but not say too much about him, I suppose, because it's a common market.
How long were you in Gibraltar for? 39
to 41.
Do you remember the month in 1941 that you left there?
Yes, May. Came back on a Monarch of Bermuda.
So that was the same month that the Bismarck was sunk.
That's right. I came back and went to laid outside Liverpool, and there was a bombing raid on. I'll never forget it. Because the warrant officer said to me, he says, I was on duty up on the after funnel, which was a dummy funnel. And I said, what am I supposed to do then? I was having a cup of coffee. It was about 2 a.m. He says, shoot the parachute flares down. I said, don't talk so bloody stupid. They were bombing Liverpool, you see, and we were outside. And we now, following morning, we came in and docked at the Princess Landing Stage. and we went to Winslow. And of course, my posting wasn't through. So they sent us on leave and said they sent our money off to us later on. Give our addresses and what have you. I think they gave us a fiver, I'm not quite sure now. Tied us over.
What was supposed to happen to you at Wilmslow?
Transit camp. We all went on to the parade ground the following morning and read out the various postings, you see. And myself, England, a chap called England, called him Curly, he was bald as a coot, and Shine and Wright. Three of us there were no postings for us. So we were sent home on leave. Fortnight's leave. So when I got my posting, it was Calshot, of course. So I was a sergeant then. Oh, Sergeant Gibraltar. And I was sent for one day down the end of the pier. And the runner said, the CO wants you. Not the CO of the station, but the flight commander. I forget his name. He was a big fat so-and-so. And he said, you're posted overseas. Because in those days, it wasn't a name posting. One senior NCO, so-and-so, Far East. Mine was the Far East, 1941. So I said, I'm not going. He said, you've got a fortnight's leave. I said, yes. He said, and you're single. I said, so what? I said, I'll go and marry the first wife I see. I said, my goodness. Anyhow, the group captain Burling was the commanding officer, because he'd been with me at Felixstowe. And I went and saw him. If you can't see the group captain, I said, I can. I said, I'm a senior NCO. So I went, saw him. He said, we've met before, haven't we? I said, yes, sir. We said, let's go sailing together, we used to, Felixstowe. So he said, what's the matter? So I told him. He said, well, Singapore's a lovely place, you know. That's not the present moment, sir. We're coming down the causeway there. I'm not really happy about it. I've just done 2 years on 3 months temporary duty. I've got a fortnight's leave. Oh, no, I can't have that, he said. And that was it. So I didn't go. I don't know who went. I know the whole ship was captured. Well, there we are.
So where did you go instead?
I went to South Wales. A little place called Ferryside. Opened village it was. Whoever thought about making that an AC rescue base, they might want their heads tested. Because it was the River Tyne. You'd go up to Carmarthen. And it's all sand. And there's a big bar at the outside. You couldn't get out or get in at low tide. It was ridiculous. Anyhow, they wouldn't have sent me from there to Tenby. They brought another flight sergeant from Tenby. I took over from him. And then they closed the base down. He used it as an MU, maintenance unit. And they moved the two launches I had to Aberystwyth. But I went to Tenby and I was on 167 then. So I took her out to Avonmouth.
Is that 167 squadron?
No, 167 boat. Lumbered over to the boat. And she was posted overseas, but I think the ship got sunk. Then there was, I took 180, brand new, from Scott Payne's power boats. And then shortly after that, of course, panic stations at Dover.
These were high-speed launches,
yes.
These numbers?
Yes. And I was in 180 for, 1942 to 45.
And did you do any SC rescue work at Tenby?
No, we used to go out on rendezvous. way down in the Bristol Channel. But we never got any of the ashes. Every time it was rough, we used to go to Caldy Island Sound. But we're there. But the rescue part, was, of course, was Dover. Well, that was good, exciting.
So you weren't at Tenby very long before you went to Dover?
No, I wasn't at Tenby there. I was a few months, I suppose. The CO didn't want me to go, Flight Lieutenant Marshall. He didn't want me to go. But I was determined to get away from there. I think it was a dead-end place. I thought, I'd never win the damn war here. And when he said Dover, I said, right, I'm off. So that was it. Went to Dover.
Still in an HSL
180? That's right, I speak like 180, yeah.
Who was the commander of this boat at Dover?
First chap was Hilary Collings. But he took ill at Newlyn, we call it Newlyn. And he was ill for the rest of the trip. So I more or less brought it round from Newlyn, called it Dartmouth, called it Cowshaw for fuel, and then Dover. He went ashore and I've never seen him since. Never saw him anymore.
So this was in 42 that you got
to Dover? '42. September. End of August or beginning of September, right, in 42. Just after Dieppe.
The Dieppe raid was in August.
August, that's right. I was there to replace the ones that had been lost.
Was it as active as you'd hoped?
Oh, yes. Very much so. I enjoyed it. Really.
What? Can you go through the incidents that you were in at Dover?
Pickups. I was out down at Dungeness one morning at Newcombe Boy. And we were there for a long time. Then I was sent, radio come through. I thought, well, this is the RTB, joint the base. No way. Down at Seaboy, further on down southeast. Then I heard things coming through the radio, and my wireless operator said to me, well, New Haven launches have been recalled, Ramsgate launches have been recalled, and the Dover ones have been recalled. And that just left us. So I thought, well, this is great. This time, of course, it was dark. Come through MHB 980. I said, that's the RTB. It was not. Further down again, to D-Boy. So I went down to D-Boy. And I thought myself, well, I looked at the chart, and I thought, well, I'm going to get a bit of a place called Berwick-sur-Mer, which is the other side of Boulogne, down that way somewhere. So I got there and then sent the crash call. I looked at the chart and the chap was, stripper was Billington. He's only an ex-sergeant, but he used to say to me, check it, chiefy. I said, guys, we're getting a bit close here. I suddenly found him. Three dinghies tied together. And one of the Yanks said, you guys the Royal Air Force? I said, yep. You want to call the SA Rescue? I said, yep. Thank Christ for that, he said. So I got aboard, and one of the dinghies had floated away because there was an incoming tide, you see. So I got them all aboard. I saw many of them. There was 12 of them. I think it was